One down, two to go. He's my favorite son. He's the only one I have, but he's my favorite son. It was a good time, and we were there till on the dance floor till like 11 something at night. People were going, "You going to church tomorrow?" I said, "Oh yeah, I'll be at church tomorrow. I'll be at church tomorrow." So we've been here all day. It's been a great day. And the other reason that I'm excited about today is our Commitment Sunday. Now, if you are a visitor or you're here for the first time, you haven't been here in a long time, you just come back. We've been doing a series called Love Your City. We end it today, and the last 5 or 6 weeks we've been doing this series through the book of Jonah. It is the beginning of a 3-year campaign called the Pervasive Hope Campaign, where we're raising money to do 4 things. One, to plant churches around San Diego. Today is our second consecutive Sunday up in North County where they're watching live. Actually, they had it 3 weeks ago in the evening. And we just signed a lease of a building in East County. And we want to put East County and then 4 more in the next 5 years, so 5 in 5 years. So we want to raise money for that. Also for a 24-hour online church. We have people watching online right now. And we would like to provide this service 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. And we also want to reduce some of our debt. We owe 2 mortgages. The second one's about $10.5 million. We want to pay that off. And then we want to support missionaries around the world. So our goal is $30 million. And these are, amen. So if you haven't been here, we've been talking about this for the last 5 or 6 weeks. And today is the day we take pledges. And these pledges are what you call offering, which is over and above your tithe. And it's a 3-year pledge of what you would give over 3 years towards those 4 projects. And before today, we had $4 million pledged before we started today, even though today's Pledge Sunday, people pledge early. And so we've been taking pledges all day. So we're going to do that in a few minutes. So don't want you to be caught off guard. If you are a visitor and you're thinking, well, you know, when you talk about money in church, people get their panties in a bunch. And panties is an expression for any of your undergarments. Because how many of you never heard that term? Get your panties in a bunch. You never heard it? Anybody? So you know what it means. Yes or no? Yes, you get kind of all tight like that. Ooh, like they're gonna... Mikey, don't worry about it. If your panties in a bunch, don't stress. Just do what God calls you to do. Now, the greatest commandment is to love God, and to love God means to obey God. We can never ask you and will never ask you and have never asked you and can never expect you to do any more than obeying God. So that's all you can do. You do what God tells you to do. That would be our prayers, that you would hear the need, you would hear what's going on, and you would ask God what to do, and you would do what God tells you to do. That's simple. If God don't tell you to do anything, don't do anything. If God tells you to do something you don't want to do, do something you don't want to do. But it's all about obeying God. Amen? So don't stress. So anyway, let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for being good to us. Thank you so much for your love for us. And we pray you bless us today. And Lord, may we be a blessing to our city, the 18 cities that make up San Diego County. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's see your Bibles. Say word. Let's go one more time in North County. I want to hear you as well. North County, say word. Very good. Let's see your pens. Lesson plan. Let's turn to Jonah chapter 4. F-O. Jonah 4. Jonah 4, folks. Y'all look so beautiful today. My son got married. I'm tripping. I actually was speechless. I walked up, he came up she came up the aisle, and I didn't know what to say. You know, you're supposed to say, "Who gives this woman?" I didn't even know how to say that. I was like, it was very, very, very nerve-wracking. I was actually been nervous for 2 weeks. Stressed, and I didn't know why, and God showed me yesterday that I didn't want to let him go, and I won't say any more about that. So then I realized he's going to live with me for a few more months, so I ain't letting him go yet. I should have had a V8, what was I thinking? A few years ago, I went to a mental hospital to visit. And I got to the mental hospital. It's very discouraging to see human beings mentally ill, not being able to function the way I'm sure they were created to function before. Many reasons people go crazy. And some of them were sitting just talking to themselves, talking to imaginary people in a daze, catatonic, not talking at all, out of their mind, saying things that just were not true. And I'm sure it breaks God's heart to see people with whom he has given incredible talent end up like that. Go to prison. I can't encourage you enough to go visit a prison before you die. If you've never been, to go into a prison, guys and girls, ladies and men, however you want to, go to a prison and visit people in prison. They're just like you. And there are people in prison wildly more talented and gifted than you in some areas. They made some horrible decisions. You go into prison, you'll see, and this is mostly true from my experience of the Mexican gangs, that they'll be in there doing the exercise together like in military form. Very disciplined, very regimented, running businesses, black, white, and Hispanic, and Asian, and other inmates running businesses, multi-million dollar businesses on the outside of the prison, running them from inside the prison with no phone, no electronic communication. It's amazing the great leaders that are in prison, yet they live in a cage like an animal. Breaks God's heart. He gave them that leadership skill. He gave them their intelligence. They misused it, and they made mistakes, and they should be in prison, but it breaks God's heart. It breaks God's heart to see people walking down the street or in the park selling their body for money, dancing on a pole. I was at a stoplight just Friday, and I stopped at the stoplight to make a U-turn. I was in the left lane, in the turn lane, and there was a guy there with a sign asking for food or whatever, and I don't remember what the sign said, but it was just, I need some help, and I had some food in my car, so I gave the food to him, rolled the window down, and said, gave the food to him. As I was explaining what I was giving him, he kind of was looking at me, and I could tell he wasn't paying attention to what I was saying, so I said it again, listen, this is really good, healthy, well, I want you to eat this. And he said, is your name Miles? And I said, yeah. He says, I used to work with you at Horizon Church. And he just starts crying, telling me a story within the few seconds we had to sit there at the light. Breaks God's heart. And so as God looks around every community in this whole planet, I was just driving this morning downtown at 7 o'clock, whatever, coming here, just seeing people walk homeless, sitting in the street, on, you know, the sidewalk. And he didn't create us to live like that. But I'm sure it breaks God's heart even more so to see the people that he has blessed to be out of that turn their back on those people. And some of y'all have been like that. You've been doing something you shouldn't have done. Maybe not some of the things I just mentioned, but you've been places you shouldn't have been. You've been down and out, and God lifted you up. Can I get amen? I was in a crack house in 1983, 84. And I was there to do powder cocaine. I didn't do crack cocaine. My buddy who took me to the house, he did crack cocaine in the back room. I said, listen, I want to go in the bathroom where the guy's making the crack, and I want to see how he does it, because I just was inquisitive. I'm an inquisitive kind of guy. I want to learn. So I sat in there and sat on some garbage can. I don't know what I sat on. And he's in there cooking it up with his little scales and his little Bunsen burner, blah, 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 blah. And I'm sitting there listening, talking to him, asking him how he's making crack. And I'm like, this guy's messed up. My heart was breaking for him. My heart was breaking for him. And I was the heathen. I was doing cocaine myself. But I was like, man, this guy's messed up. And then I looked in the mirror, and God said, you're only 2 feet away from him. How long is it going to be before you're sitting in that seat? So we all been there. And now God is saying, listen, I loved you. Now I want you to go love somebody else. So in this story we're going to look at, it's a story of Jonah. And Jonah was called to go love a city called Nineveh. Everyone say Nineveh? Say it one more time, North County. Everyone say Nineveh? And the people in Nineveh, God called Jonah to go love the people in Nineveh and go preach to them. Jonah runs in the opposite direction. God's got to go way out of his way, throw a storm on the boat that Jonah got into, to have a fish swallow him up, spit him out on the beach, and say, Jonah, I told you to go to Nineveh. And the reason that Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh is because he didn't love the people in Nineveh like God loved them. That's it. The reason we don't help, when I say we, whoever you are, we collectively, the reason we don't help people the way God wants us to, because we don't love them the way he does. That's a simple thing. And we don't love God as much as we claim. To love God means to obey God. You can measure your love for God, by the way. How quickly and how often do you do what he says when he tells you to do it? Measure your love. Every single day, you can measure how much you love God. God tells you to do something, and do you make excuses? Do you delay? Or do you just do what he says? If you are somebody who does exactly what he says, when he says it, you love him a lot. That's why he says become like a child. Little kids, hey, go over there. Okay, I'll just do it. They're not analyzing. Well, you know, if I do it, what's going to happen? And I don't know how it's going to work out. And I don't really understand. Just do it. It's way over your pay grade to understand the things of God. He's not going to tell you everything. There will be always until the day you die, you will never, ever, ever, everyone say ever. You're never going to know everything about what God asked you to do. Abraham, the father of faith, God told him to kill your, Abraham, go kill your only son. He said, okay. He didn't sit there and go, now, you know murder's a sin. It's my only son. You told me you were going to give me a nation through my only son. So if I kill him, how are you going to do that, God? He didn't ask all those very logical, very legitimate questions. He just said, we got to go. Took him up to the mountain, was going to kill him. And God said, stop. Just want to see if you knew, if you were paying attention. Just do what he says. That's love. Okay? So in the story, we're going to read. Look at number one of your notes. We're going to talk about being a generous lover. I know all y'all want to be a lover. Some of y'all think you're a lover already. Mm-hmm. Number one in your notes, the heart of a lover has faith to love generously. The heart of a lover has faith to love generously. A real lover doesn't love sparingly. Raise your hand if God has loved you sparingly. I'll say it a different way. Raise your hand if God has not loved you more than you deserve. I'll let you think about it because I don't think you understood the question. If God has not loved you more than you deserve, that's called grace, by the way. If God loved you, gave you something you didn't deserve, which was an opportunity to be saved. If he hasn't done that to you and he's loved you like a cheapskate, just gave you a little tiny love. If God's giving you a little kind of love, raise your hand. I didn't think so. He loved you like this much. You know what that means? God says, I want you to do what I do. If I loved you this much, I want you to love this much. That's the rule. That's the goal. Look at chapter 3, verse 10. This is after Jonah preaches and the people repent. Chapter 3, verse 10, it says, God saw their works of Nineveh, the Ninevites, that they turned from their evil way and that God relented from the disaster that he said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. In other words, the people of Nineveh repented at Jonah's preaching. And Jonah should be happy, don't you think? Yes or no? Yes or no? Yes. Very good. And then it says in verse 1, chapter 4, it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry, got an attitude. It'd be like people getting saved, me going, man, God, why'd you forgive them? Why you forgive them? You shouldn't forgive them, even though I told them you love them, you shouldn't forgive them. That'd be like that. Verse 2. He prayed to the Lord and said, Lord, was this not what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore, that's why I ran the opposite direction. I went to Tarshish. For I know you are gracious. Everyone say gracious. I know you are merciful. Say merciful. I know you are slow to anger. Say slow to anger. I know you are abundant in loving kindness. Say abundant in loving kindness. Everyone take a deep breath in. Say abundant in loving kindness. Very good. It says, I know you're one who relents from doing harm. Lord, you are so gracious, and I knew you were like that, and I didn't want you to love them. What? God, I just want all your love to myself. I wonder how many of us are like that. I want it all to myself. I want all the blessings you've given me for me. Because it's all about me. Right, God? Thank you. Look what it says in verse 3. Therefore, Lord, you talk about drama queen or king. Look what it says. Therefore, oh Lord, please take my life, for it is better for me to die than live. Because you blessed those people that I didn't want you to bless, I want to die. Do you know that other people can be blessed and you can still be blessed at the same time? You know, a lot of times we're jealous because we think if someone's blessed, it takes something away from us. Think about it. When you're envious of somebody, that you don't want someone to succeed, because you think if they are blessed, it does something negative to you. God got plenty of blessings to go around to everybody. He ain't ever going to run out. Look at number two in your notes. Look at number two. Number two, the heart of a lover has faith that their sacrifice will bring blessing to other people. In other words, when you give, you have to believe that it's going to bless somebody else. We had about 8,900 people saved here last year. We already had almost 700 this year saved already, and over 65,000 hours of volunteer service that we've done, y'all have done. This Saturday, we're going to be down in Southeast San Diego. Please come join us. When you give here every week, it does good. It helps people. It's how people are getting saved. All this stuff is provided by what you give. Look what it says in verse 4. The Lord said, is it right for you to be angry? Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and he made himself a shelter and sat under it in its shade till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord prepared a plant. Everyone say plant. And made it come up over Jonah that it might give shade to his head and deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was very grateful of the plant. He said, oh, this plant makes me feel so good. Remember, drama queen. This plant makes me feel so good. Oh, it's all about me. And as morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm. Everyone say worm. And it damaged the plant, and the plant died. Now, remember, God prepared the storm that got Jonah thrown out of the boat. Then he prepared the fish to swallow Jonah. Then he spoke to the fish and had this fish vomit him out on the beach. And then he spoke to Jonah and said, go preach the gospel that I tell you to preach. Then Jonah preaches the word that God prepared in his heart. And then God prepared these people's hearts to repent. And now God prepared a plant and then a worm. And now he's going to prepare in verse 8. It happened when the sun arose that God prepared a hot wind. And the sun beat on Jonah's head. And he grew faint. And he wished death for himself and said, it is better for me to die than live. Drama queen. The plant died. Oh, I just need to die. It's so hot out here. And God forgave those people, and I don't want him to forgive those people. Then God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? And he said, it is right for me to be angry, even to the point of death. And the Lord said, you have had pity on the plant, which you did not labor, nor you didn't make it grow. You didn't make it come up at night. You only lived one day, and you're worried about a plant? And then he says, then I should have pity over Nineveh that had 120,000 people who could not discern their right from their left. Jonah, you worry more about things than people. When God calls you to give something, your time, your talent, your treasure, your money, your contacts, your relationships, when God calls you to give something that you may think is dear to you to benefit somebody else, do you do what Jonah does?
I don't want to do it, God. It's going to end my life. I don't want to do that.
There's a guy I talked to maybe 5 or 6 weeks ago in a room in the back here. We were talking about this campaign. I've known him for a long time. And he says, I'm not giving my whole heart to God because God may ask me to do something. Said that to me. Put his hands over his heart because I had used the illustration about people not wanting to give all their heart to God because they're scared. And he says, I'm worried that God's going to ask me to do something. I said, if you give your heart to God, he's going to for sure though ask you to do something. Ain't no doubt about it. He might ask me to do something big. I said, if you have the ability to do something big, he probably will ask you to do something big. But let me ask you this. Do you think that God would ever ask you to do something that's not good? Oh, yeah. Oh, I guess. He didn't trust God. Jonah didn't love the people. He didn't trust God. My wife and I are going to give the biggest gift we ever gave. Why? Because we trust God. And we're going to be obedient to God. Jonah didn't trust God. He didn't love the people. It was all about him. Don't be like Jonah. And I'm not even talking about today with your pledge. I'm talking about in your life. Trust God. Because there are so many people who say they are Christian, which means they've given their life to Christ, but they live for themselves. That's a contradiction. Trust God. Number three, last one, says, the heart of a lover has faith that their sacrifice will be a blessing to the giver. In other words, you have faith that when you give, you will receive. Now, there are some people who will tell you that if you give $10, God's, or you give a certain amount of money, God's going to make you rich. I'm not telling you that at all. You may give money away and God give you no money in return. And you're like, well, why would I do that? Two reasons. Because he's going to give you something better than money. He's going to give you, possibly. Now, he may load you up. He may hook you up. You may give money, and he gives you a business deal 10 times. He does that stuff all the time. And has anybody ever experienced that? Say amen. Oh, he'll do that. There's no question he can, and there's no question he does that. But there's other times where he says, you know what? What I'm going to give you today is I'm going to give you so much peace that you're not going to trip on it anymore. That you're going to be very content with however I have you live. That's better than $1 million. Now, and here's what he does. This is how God works. And by the way, and many people in here and watching will affirm this. This is how God works. Then once you get to the point where you don't care, then he blesses you. And you're like, oh. And then you go, I now know that sharing is good. They teach you that in kindergarten. Sharing is good. And God created you to be a pass-through, not a cul-de-sac or a dead end where it just stops with you. You just want to be a pass-through. It's good. And when God teaches you to share, my son got married, and one of the things that my son is going to learn, like all married people do, is that the only way your marriage is going to work is if you serve the other person. If you are married right now or you want to get married, it will not work unless you serve the other person. Because God undoubtedly had you marry someone that's opposite of you, then, and if in the least they are not exactly like you, and you're going to have to sacrifice to make it work. God designed it that way. Why? Because he wanted to teach us to give. He wanted to teach us to serve. He wants you to live in a service relationship. Why? Christ lived in a service relationship to the Father. The Holy Spirit lives in a service relationship to the Father and the Son. And we need to live in a servant relationship to them. As they served us, when Christ died, he did a service for us. It's all about service. It's never about taking. And so one of the reasons we're always told to give is so we can learn to do it and realize that it's good. You know, there's two seas in the Bible. Well, there's many seas, Mediterranean, but you have the Sea of Galilee where Jesus went fishing and where he walked on. And then you have the Dead Sea. Where it's nothing but dead stuff. The Dead Sea is the lowest point on the whole planet. And there's nothing living in the Dead Sea. That's why they call it dead, because it's dead. And you know the difference between the Dead Sea and the Sea of Galilee? The Sea of Galilee has water that comes in and water that goes out. It's a pass-through, circulation. The Dead Sea just collects. It just holds. There's people that go to church, they say, just give me, feed me, tell me something new. And they get all fat, spiritually, I just know all this information. Yes, I'm just a Bible. They walk out, blah, 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 because they got all this information, and they never share it, they never love, they never give it away, and they're just a blah. And you meet them, and they're Christian, and you're just like, ew, I don't want to be like you. And you shouldn't, because it's gross. Versus... And I'm talking about spiritually, blah, 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 not physically. And then there's other people, they receive a blessing and they share it, and they receive a blessing and they share it. You know, God gives seed to the sower. And so Jonah said, you know what? This is all about me. I don't want to love anybody, Lord. I don't want you to love anybody through me. I'll love our city campaign. It's all about loving. And so in a minute, we're going to show you a video. It's going to kind of summarize what I've been talking about, the four initiatives. And then the ushers, as the video comes on, the ushers are going to come forward. And you're going to get a card. And this card will be the card that you make your financial commitment to. We'll explain this whole thing. And so as the video comes on, the ushers in North County should prepare as well. And then we'll go through the card. So let's show that video.
This is the city we are called to love, broken and beautiful, hurting and healthy, a city in need of hope, a living hope, a hope anchored in Jesus Christ, a pervasive hope. And reaching this city is just the beginning. Together, we can build 5 more Rock Church campuses in 5 years, mobilizing thousands of people in their own communities. Together, we can launch the Rock Church online, providing 24-hour access to interactive, life-changing church and video content 7 days a week. Together, we can deploy a global evangelism strategy and reach the ends of the earth through a network of churches and mission partnerships. Together, we can increase hope by reducing debt, freeing up millions of dollars for new ministry initiatives throughout the world. God has called us to be part of a vision larger than ourselves. Are you ready? Are you all in? It's time for action.
Amen. So what we're going to do here in a minute, as they give this card out, I just want to tell you a quick story as they pass that card out. I was at a youth conference, and this kid asked the question. He said, if I live my life for me, my whole life for me, and I don't live for God, and right before I die, I ask God to forgive me. And he said, would God forgive me? He asked that question. And I said, absolutely. If you live your whole life, do drugs, party, do whatever you want to do, and right before you die, you ask God to forgive you, he will forgive you. And he said to me, why would God let me cheat him like that? I said, God, you didn't cheat God, you cheat yourself. You lived a life with blessings that were second rate to what God can give you. Instead of taking full advantage of all the blessings that God could have given you, he's a God of all good gifts. Don't let the devil cheat you by you being so consumed to live for you. That's the opposite of why we were created. It is the opposite. God created us to live in relationship with him, a servant relationship to him and to each other. And that's where true fulfillment comes in. Part of that is giving money. Part of that is giving your time, your treasure. When we started church in East County, which we just got a lease for, we're going to ask you, if you live out there, to go to church out there and serve the people in that community, and ask you to ask God to give you eyes that you may see the pain in our city, whatever city you live in, like he sees it, and let it bother you when you do something. Instead of saying, I'm going to make my life so convenient and so comfortable, I don't want anything to inconvenience me. You don't want to live that way. You cheat yourself. And matter of fact, you can get so self-indulgent, you make yourself miserable. Some of the most miserable people are some of the most selfish people, because they just can't get enough for themselves. So just in general, you don't want to live that way. I just got news today that a friend of mine's neighbor, 4-year-old girl, just drowned in the pool, 4 years old. And the neighbor who goes to church here was just so broken up and she has a 4-year-old daughter. They played together. The reality of death. 4 years old. And now this couple, their only child, is gone. Is that we get so caught up in stuff that's going to be gone. Instead of saying, Lord, how do you want to use me? So what I want you to do is just turn the card over to the white side up. And let's just start. If everybody has one, if everyone just start filling in your name, your contact information. And hopefully everybody has one. Every little bit helps. Even if it's just prayer, we would love to know that you're praying for us. So name, and I'll write it in with you. Address. City. Phone and email. And then the first box says, I and we will commit to lift up pervasive hope through our prayers. If you would pray for us, and we'll be reminding you for the years to come about this campaign, just check that box. The second box you can skip for now. We'll come back to that. The third box says, by faith, I or we will make a 3-year commitment. And then it has weekly, monthly, or annual amounts. And if you could just turn it over, I want to show you something on the back side, on the black side. The bottom left, it says if you commit $10 over $10 a week over 3 years. That's $1,500. There was a 10-year-old kid who pledged $5 a week. He did lemonade stands, car washes, and he did that for 3 years. Every little bit counts. And then right above that says $25 a week is $3,900. You don't have to pick one of these. This is just an example. The top one says $2,000 a week is $312,000. Again, if you roll like that and God prompts on your heart, praise the Lord. But to give you perspective, if you look at the one that says $75, that turns out to $11,700. If 1,000 people did that, that's $11 million, just like that. That's how quick it adds up. So turn back to the other side. And again, those numbers are just guides for you to pray about a number. And I'm just going to take a minute and let you pray about what you feel you can do. And we appreciate whatever you can do. So I'm just going to take a minute and have you all pray about that. And then fill in whatever number you come up with. If you are watching online, on the bottom right hand of your screen is a little tab that you can receive this electronic version to fill out. Hopefully in North County you got all the information you need there. The last box says I can by faith give by, you can also give a gift of stock or real estate. We had a family sell their house. It's whatever God puts on your heart. And then that last one says total commitment. Whatever number you feel that you can give over the next 3 years, if you could put in that total commitment space, we'd appreciate it. And then if you go back to the second box, it says, by faith, we will give an initial gift in the amount of. Next week, we're going to take a special offering, which will be the first deposit. When I say deposit, the first installment of whatever you're committing. So we're going to take our normal offering, and then we'll take a second offering just next week for that will apply to this pledge. In the future, you just put it in an envelope. Mark your check, Pervasive Hope. You can do it online. It'll track it separately. So next week, we're going to take an initial offering. So if you know what you can give on that day, you could put that in that box or in that space. And then if you want to do it electronically, there's information there you could fill out as well on the bottom before you pass it in. Let me say a couple things to all of y'all who weren't here last time we did this. Matter of fact, if you were not here last time we did this, just raise your hand. Okay? You weren't here last time we did this. We did the same thing to get this building. And what we did is every month we have Benjamin Cashman. Y'all remember Benjamin Cashman? So Benjamin Cashman is going to come. He's going to fly in from wherever he is around the world. And he's going to give us an update on here's what was pledged. Here's what was collected. And here's the thing about numbers. I'm a numbers guy. I was an engineering student in college. I have 4 years of calculus. I love numbers. And numbers is the only way you can truly measure accurately anything. And what was so good about numbers is that you will see what people pledged, what came in, which is going to measure what we can and cannot do based on that money. And it's going to, you're just going to see God work in that. So I want to challenge you in your own relationship with God that you could say, this is what God wants me to do. And then I want you to watch what God does in your life. As I said, my wife and I are going to make the biggest gift we ever made, and we're going to watch God do a miracle in our life. He already has. He already does. And that's my challenge to you. Now, if you say, you know what, I'm not going to do anything, that's cool too. If you feel God told you. You know, I was talking to someone about giving once. I think it was in a sermon, and people said, well, it's a New Testament. We don't have to give. I said, you sure don't. You don't have to do anything. You don't even have to get saved. You don't. But you ain't going to go to heaven. You don't have to pray. You won't get your prayers answered. So God is saying, listen, you are free. You can do whatever you want, but just understand there's a blessing and a consequence to being disobedient or obedient. And I want to encourage you as the pastor of this church. I may not be your pastor, But if this is your church, I'm the pastor of this church, I want to encourage you by faith to obey God. And as the Bible says, test him, as he says, to test him and see what he does. He is a very faithful, very exciting God. Amen? Amen. Amen. So I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward. Matter of fact, I'm going to ask everybody to pass the cards to the aisles. Either way, it doesn't matter. Pass the card to the aisle, and we're going to have people come pick them up, and then we're going to pray. Pass the card to the aisles. And as they pass them, I want to, I'm going to pray two things for you here in a minute. Is I'm going to pray, one, that God would open your eyes, that you would see the pain of our city like he does, and that certain things would bother you about what's going on in people's lives, and that he would give you a burden to do something to help somebody. That he wouldn't let you drive past and go, too bad for them. I was telling you, I watch cops, lockup, the program lockup all the time in prison. Not that I like getting my heart broke. It is so much motivation to see people who need help that we can go help. It's such an idea-provoking process. Instead of saying, I don't want to stay away from that, I want to go help that. And I want to pray that God would give you that vision that you would see. And so when you drive out of here, when you go to work tomorrow, when you go to school tomorrow, that God would show you somebody and give you a burden to help them. We talked about, when we did the series on Wire for Love, we talked about mirror neurons in your brain where you can see somebody hurting and your heart can hurt with them. You can mirror their feelings. I want to pray to God your mirror neurons would work really powerful. And I want to pray that God would honor you for what you just did on that card. And God would bless you and you would see the blessing in your life. And that for all y'all who need jobs and need income, that God would explode with opportunity, provided you were faithful to do what he said. If you're not faithful to do what he said, you can't expect him to do something more for you. So let's all bow for a word of prayer. Lord, thank you so much that you love us. Thank you so much that we get to walk with you. We get to serve alongside you. We get to help people. We get to be your hands, your feet, your voice, your heart, your eyes, your ears, your mouth. We get to reflect your holiness and your glory to our world. And Lord, I pray by faith we are obedient to you and that we are generous on your behalf and that this city will be transformed. In your name, it will be transformed for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to sing a song and then we'll dismiss you after the song. And I'd appreciate it if you wouldn't walk out during the song. You'd wait till we dismiss you. So if you're a visitor, we'll end the service after we pray. In the middle of the song. We got my guy. There we go. There we go.
For the Lord is good and his love endures. Yes, the Lord is good